Got it.
All right. Hang tight, guys. Saturday for you if you're in the business too, as the rest of us are. The rest of us slubs have been working all weekend since last Thursday. That's what I've been doing. I got a feel, and that's exactly what I think Jeff's been doing as well. That's what I think most everybody's been doing, because that's what we do in this business. Listen, it's fun. I love Monday nights because we get to hang out here and talk industry with some of the coolest people on the planet. And tonight, I'm joined once again by none other. I've only had one beer, too. I said none. That's not a word, is it, Jeff? None. Joined right now by Dakota Cobb, 86 to quote. Dakota, I'm sorry, man. You already said it once, but if you wouldn't mind, just give a quick little the little rundown one more time about what it's about, because I apologize. There was a button here. Like I said, this is new software. Everybody bear with me. It's going to be dope as soon as I get it all figured out, but we're just about there.
All right, so 86 to Quo is the organization that me and a team of two other ladies decided to start. It's essentially trying to clean up the rough areas in the industry. It's going to take some time. It's going to take a little bit of everyone's help, but you know, this industry is a great, you know, place to be.
Very much.
It's an awesome place. You know, we get to cook for a living. You know, we're not running into burning buildings and not getting shot every day. We get to cook awesome food for awesome people. But in my own words, I'm just trying to clean up the industry a little bit at a time.
You know, and that's the thing, man, I think is interesting is, you know, you mentioned before that you're young in the business. You've only got, you said 6 years, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think that it's better now probably than it ever has been before. You know, my generation of cooks and stuff coming about the way I did, it was really, really rough for a while.
Do you feel like there's definitely been a like change of hand as far as like how kitchens are handled now than what they were 25 years ago?
Absolutely.
I'll go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm saying absolutely. I think, coming up in kitchens 25 years ago, you know, it was okay to get hit, burned, your ass pinched or poked by a chef, stabbed with a hot cake tester. I mean, I don't know. I hot pans being thrown at me when I was in the dish pit. I can't even tell you the shit that they used to do to us. I mean, they were just terrible. It was like being in like a shitty frat that you were hazed in until, you know, you got a better job.
Yeah, I think it's definitely come a long way. It's definitely got some ways to go, but it's come a long way, way further than it was, I mean, back in the 90s. And, I mean, literally, I would think, you know, late 80s and 90s, this whole industry was, I mean, it was the Badlands, man. There was really no, you know, there's no human resources or shit like that. It's just, it was what it was. We work long hours, we get our asses kicked, you start from the bottom, you work your way up. But that's like with any other job in the world.
No, for sure. And for me, like there's some things that don't need to change the industry. Yeah, you're going to get hazed. So does everybody in every career. But, you know, absolutely. being hazed is almost like you've earned your badge, you know, like you've earned the respect of the cooks. You know, that doesn't need to change. That's, you know, again, the camaraderie. It's a family. You know, if there's not hazing between cooks, it's really not cooking. It's just you're just, you know, earning a paycheck. And that's at the end of the day, it's not what it's about. It's about cooking for people.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. So what kind of things is 86 to Quo? What are you guys doing right now? What do you have happening to help to do what you're doing?
So right now, obviously, we're selling the, you know, merchandise, which, you know, is only trying to get the conversation started. But, you know, overall, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a pledge to, you know, put it on our website eventually and put it on other people's websites as well, to be able to say, like, this is how our restaurant handles things. you know, mental health is huge, and you know, it's coming up in the news every day now about, you know, different chefs, you know, getting out of the business because they can't handle it anymore. But being able to provide some sort of outlook for different chefs, like, it's okay, like, you can still become a chef, and it's okay to, like, be able to talk about things and not hold them in, but to be able to give people a platform like 86 to Quo, that we can give them a, you know, some articles or give them some help that they need, for sure. But we're trying to create a pledge for people to sign, different restaurant owners, chefs, line cooks, you name it, to sign that say, you know, I believe what you guys are doing. I believe that this is how it should be. And so, you know, and then to be able to be in classrooms like high schools and colleges and to be able to inform, you know, the future of our industry, like, it's okay. Like, this stuff is going to be, you know, yes, you're going to get hazed. You're going to work long hours. But, you know, if you are dealing with mental health or substance abuse, there are some ways that you can deal with this and still become a good chef or cook.
You know, and that's awesome. I think it's a great idea, Jeff. I'm sure you can't really disagree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely not. I think I mean,
yeah.
You know, but, those. I think those are things that need to be changed in our industry for sure. You know what I mean? Like, right. the tough guy pushed through, you know, not talk about what's going on. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, I have to be honest. I know there's lots of chefs out there that do not want to fucking help anyone deal with their marital problems anymore. You know, shout out to all the guys out there that are helping their sous chef right now work something out that they wish they didn't have to on a Saturday.
True that. Well, you listen, man. So here's so the other night, Dakota, you were sending me an email and we were talking back and forth, but you caught me on a Friday night, and I'm trying to do a 5-course dinner. I'm like, dude, stop fucking emailing me. This is my busy season. I'm getting my ass kicked every night right now. And you're like, dude. So, and when we first talked about this, you had said to me, you know, I said, listen, I think it's a great message. I think the message is awesome, but, you know, some things I don't agree with. And, you know, you'd ask me kind of, hey, could you tell me what those things are? And I wanted to wait, because I actually want to talk to you about it, you know, and it's nothing crazy bad, man. It's just, I said, like, what are you guys doing, right? And that's my biggest question. Like, what are you doing? I don't see you doing anything. Like, you're saying you're doing all this stuff. You're selling T-shirts, right? But what are you doing? Like, do you have a hotline set up? It's easy to set a Gmail phone number, get a group of chefs together, and, hey, this is a hotline number. If you guys need help, call this number. You can talk to anybody anytime. That's free. You can do that. That's easy. Have you taken any crisis counseling training classes or anything like that to help people?
No, we are in the process of doing all of that. It is pretty much behind the scenes, and that's why we kind of went for the month of July, you know, behind the bar, essentially, is because, like, there's a lot of things that are in the works and moving really fast. But, you know, I don't want to be, you know, too optimistic and say and start releasing these to people and then it not be right. You know, I don't want to do something and not do it right. So, you know, we are in the process of creating a hotline and making ourselves very, you know.
Well, that's easy, though. That'd take an hour. That's easy. I mean, listen, I'm not busting your balls. You asked me. I mean, I'm being honest with you, man. I think you're a great guy. I really love the idea of this. I feel like, I don't know. Like, it's all I see is you selling T-shirts, and I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, are we trying to be an apparel company, or are we trying to help people?
You know, the T-shirts and the wristbands were.
P.S. That sounded like a dickhead thing to say. I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I know it came across that way, but that's not how I meant it.
No, you're good, Chef. It's just, you know, the thing for me was, like, let's start a conversation first and let's get people, like, do they want to actually help the industry? Do they want to be able to make this industry better for the future? And, you know, for me being a young cook like myself, and I want to make this industry something better than what it is already, you know, because this is essentially my career for the next 50 years.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you want to always make something better when you left than it was when you got there, of course.
Exactly. And so we are doing, you know, countless research and making sure that we are trying to do our very best to help people. And we are making ourselves very, you know, accessible to people. You know, I've gotten so many emails and phone calls of people looking for help. And we've you know, helped a handful of people already, you know, that were looking and they were lost.
How do you help them?
How do we help them? We put them in the right direction as far as, like, you know, help groups in their area. We're forming one right now, but, you know, we're based in Missouri, so we can't be in all 50 states just yet. But being able to point them in a direction that they didn't feel like they could go, you know, and there's been some people that are talking to us that, you know, you know, they're going through a really rough spot in their life, and they're looking for you know, an outlook to make it, you know, better. You know, being able to, like, just say, hey, dude, if you ever need something, just, you know, give me a holler. Like, I would love to give you, you know, some good feedback on, you know, like, everything's going to be all right. You know, that's all people really want. You know?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's people just need to hear that. You're right. I mean, Jeff, what do you think, man? I think some people just need to hear that.
Absolutely. I think what he's doing right now is laying really good groundwork for something that could be really great in the future, right? I mean, what you're doing is really just trying to get your concept out there as like a you're selling merchandise, and you're basically putting forth this concept, and you're trying to see what kind of reaction you can get from the people to see whether or not it's worth actually pursuing and pushing it out there. Am I correct by that?
No, you are correct. And, you know, people don't, this is like stuff that people don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
And I knew this. And so this was definitely going to ruffle some feathers, especially the way I went about things. You know, creating merchandise, it's more like, do you want it to be, you know, a merchandise company? Or do you want to, like, start doing something about it? And, you know, it just happened to be, we start selling merchandise and people start buying it. And then they're like, all right, what are you going to do now? It's like, well, you know, I want to help people. Like, that's why I started this thing, is to help people and to be accessible. And so, like, yeah, this is going to take, you know, a lot of, I would love, you know, this is awesome. Plum, like, being able to tell me, you know, things that, you know, you see from the outside, because, you know, there are going to be things like that people are going to challenge and be like, what are you actually doing? Like, why haven't we seen, you know, results or like reviews or testimonials saying that you've actually helped me? Like, why haven't we seen that?
No.
And you're right.
That's actually just the opposite. Like, no, I don't think I want to see someone saying that. It's just, to me, it's like, all I see is that you started this thing and it's selling t-shirts. And then, you know, what is that for? Where does that go towards? What are we paying for here? Like, I don't see, like, you could say, one of the things I first saw when you did that was, I was like, man, and again, listen, I'm coming from a place of love here. I swear to God I am. I'm not being a douche. Not yet, at least. But it's, you know, setting up a Google Voice hotline would take an hour to get a couple of chefs who are signed up for it. You can make the number global so everyone could get it. And if someone has a problem, hey, call this phone number. There will always be somebody at the other end who will answer it. I mean, that's easy, you know, and you can have that, and that becomes a thing. Now you have something that we're doing. Like, you can do that. You know, we're taking crisis counseling training classes, or we're being
I think what they're doing, though, Plum, is I think that he's trying to get his concept out right now by selling T-shirts, raising money. As they raise money, they can dump more back into what they're trying to do by setting up these hotlines and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm saying that things like that, Jeff, are free. That doesn't cost you anything. You
no, absolutely. I also think that I think the hotline is an amazing idea, guys. I really do. But I think you can't just have, like, you know, Chef Tim on the hotline.
Well,
you know what I'm saying, guys? Like, people who call hotlines sometimes have real problems, and, like, although it's nice to have somebody who's equipped as a chef just to be like, yeah, man, it's gonna be okay, it's also, you know, there's got to be some training there, you know what I mean? There's got to be something in place. I mean, am I wrong, chef?
I think there does have to be some kind of training for it, of course, but I mean, even just having a voice to talk to on the other side of that line is a good thing.
Right. I mean, but am I right with that, Dakota? Like, if you're going to set up a hotline, you need to make sure that there's, like,
a trained professional, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially for insurance purposes. Like, you couldn't set up a hotline, you know, to help with, like, grief counseling or something unless you had, in fact, had people take some sort of, you know, whatever it is, training prior to, you know, working that hotline. I mean, I'm talking out the side of my mouth because I have no idea. I'm just assuming this is probably
you're completely right. You know, we there are some things that we haven't tackled because we're not comfortable in tackling just yet, and that is one of them. Is like, a hotline would be great, but I'm not trained in that just yet. And so, like, we're trying to make ourselves accessible without using a hotline. Like, I use, like, my personal telephone number. Like, if you ever need anything, it's directly related to 86 the quote, because I felt like since I started this, I should be the one answering the phone calls, answering the, you know, the questions like, hey, what's next? Like, can you talk me off a bridge kind of thing? And, like, us cooks that are super young in the industry, I think mentorship is huge. Like, I have mentored under a lot of, you know, I have a lot of chef mentors that I looked up to And, you know, there was a lot of times where I was a young cook, like, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, no, you have to stay in this. Like, you are you're supposed to cook. Like, it's going to get tough. It's going to get rough. To be able to talk people into staying into a career that they're made for is huge in general.
You know, listen, man, I think that's a key thing, and is just being available and being there is a good thing to be at. It's a great starting place for it. 100% agree with that. FYI, you don't need to buy equipment to do a podcast. Just putting it out there to you. I did my show on a Apple headset for 3 years. You don't need a bunch of equipment. It's super easy to do.
Heard that.
It's super easy, man. It really, truly is. And the other thing I have to add, and the other part where you lose me, man, and this one's gonna sting a little bit when I say it, but I have to. What's up with the likes on your pictures, man?
Likes on the pictures
on your personal page.
What are you talking about?
When you're getting 12,000 likes on a picture on your personal page.
12,000. I haven't gotten 12,000 likes.
You know, I'm using a large number on purpose. I'm being like an exorbitant number, but you know, when you go from a 50 likes to 4,000 on a picture.
I told my wife the other day, I have no idea where all that stuff came from.
Well, the tricky part is, man, it's just, it's hard to take somebody serious when that stuff happens. That's all, man. And listen, it's not like everybody wants to have a great following with it, but you know, I think you can build a better following by just, you know, grinding it out and working really, really hard at it and putting stuff out there and pushing and pushing and pushing, and it'll come. It just takes a long time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I completely agree. Yeah, it's you know, being able to promote and promote and promote at the same time. But, you know, 86 to quo, it's not about, you know, Instagram or social media. It's about helping people at the end of the day.
Totally. And that's the key thing there, man. So guys, listen, best of luck to you, man. I hope that you guys do some stuff. I hope you make things happen. I hope you make waves. I hope you help a lot of people, and love to see you succeed doing it, brother.
Thanks, Shep One.
All right, man. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you on down the road. All right.
Great to talk to you, Dakota. I look forward to hearing more about it, man.
Thanks, Chef.
All right. Take care. There he goes, guys. Dakota Cobb from 86 to Quo. You know, it's a great idea, Jeff. It's a great cause, right?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I got to be honest. I really I like how transparent he was about, you know, he's just young in the industry. He just sees some things, and I think he's trying. Yeah, you know, I think he's just kind of, I don't think he's trained to do what he's trying to do. I think he's just trying to do it because he thinks it needs to be done. And I like that. You know what I mean? I wish him the best luck. Like you said, I think the more people that get behind him and the more people that can mentor him and coach him and, you know, show him stuff, like, you know, if like, you know, maybe he doesn't know how to do a podcast on his iPhone, someone like you could, like, you know, give him.
Yeah, happy. You know, I should have said that to him. I'm happy to talk him through that and show him.
What's up, man? And then, like, and then they have a podcast, which is then his voice is getting a little heard, and then he's actually, you know, maybe he's helping some more people. Because I think, listen, everything he was saying is absolutely true, right? I mean, there's no lying there. It's like this industry, you know, has a lot of issues, and there's a lot of tough guy shit that we've all had to live through. That, you know, I don't think. I'm not saying like the hazing tough guy stuff. I'm just saying, like, you know, like not talking about your feelings or not saying, like, you know, I'm hurting or not, you know, whatever, you know, that is rampant in our industry. And I think people burn out all the time because of that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've burnt out. I mean, I'm sure you have too, you know, at different times of your life because of the grind, you know.
It's tough. It is tough, and it's hard, man. I think that, I've said it all the time, even to you, I think the signs of a great leader is someone who recognizes their weaknesses and tries to find the best possible people they can find to be a part of that and to help make that better, you know, to kind of lift that right there.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, maybe that's something you could do. So, Dakota, man, listen, I'm happy to help you talk to you about podcasting and how to get something out there. It's super easy. I'm sure we can make it happen for you. So make sure you guys check out 86thequo.com and, of course, 86thequo on Instagram. Jeff, speaking of tough guys, I've got a really tough guy on the program tonight, man. A really tough guy.
Bring him on.
I don't know if you're ready, man.
Oh, I'm ready.
That was creepy. I mean, she might be one of the toughest guys I know.
Oh, now I'm scared.
Are you really scared or no?
No, I'm not really scared.
Of course you're not really scared. So listen, we are going to be joined by a good friend of mine right now. Hopefully she's paying attention so she can turn her phone on. The one and only. We're not even going to play a song. Usually I go to a song and then we come back. We're just going to roll right through, man. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Right on. The one and only intoxicate herself, Kate Schlintz. Kate, can you hear me? How are you, dear?
Hey. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Okay, terrific.
That's wonderful. This is going to be a really tough act to follow.
It was interesting, right?
It was very interesting, but I felt like it was a little bit intense, and that's like not my game at all.
No, it's okay.
Her game is hard A's when she talks.
We got the Syracuse upstate New York accent going. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, joined by Intoxicate right now. You can check her out at intoxicate.com. She hosts a fantastic program called Fork This. I almost messed that up. With Intoxicate. You can catch that show on, is it Thursdays you air?
Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. I knew it was a T. It was one of the T things in the week. Mm-hmm. Sorry. On Tuesdays, you can catch it on the website right there on intoxicate.com. And, of course, you podcast and it goes everywhere, right?
That's right.
And not to mention, you also are like a champion here for the smaller restaurants across the world and across the talking about, like, from a PR standpoint, getting attention to them. Talk a little bit about that and how you got involved in it.
Well, I was a writer by trade originally and was writing for some local publications in Westchester. And
okay,
I kept
terrific.
The same conversation with restaurateurs and chefs over and over again about, you know, not getting what they need out there and having a hard time publicizing events and, you know, all these different things. And look, chefs are really fabulous. They're wonderful in the kitchen. They're trained to be in the kitchen. But when it comes to marketing and you know, doing some PR for your restaurant, you sometimes get a little stuck because there's no training for that.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of wanted to be this kind of cheerleader for the local restaurants in Westchester and Fairfield County. And so when I was writing about all of these things that started to not be able to make it into the publications, I launched intoxicate.com. And started the blog and started posting, you know, events and chef bios and really trying to portray the restaurant and chef in the best light possible that they were comfortable with. And it just kind of grew from there. We do events. We have the radio show. There's an online magazine. And then, you know, my side PR business kind of grew out of that.
Well, and it's you kind of created a whole little empire for yourself there, especially down in Westchester County, for those who don't know, is right by New York City. Jeff, you have experienced that yourself a little bit with PR and marketing and found how tough it can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for me, it was when we started the agency and just getting your name out there. I've experienced what you talked about, chefs just not being great at selling themselves. Sometimes they're great at showing you how good they are, but it's really hard to have someone, like sometimes a chef is really not the best at talking about themselves. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to talk about yourself in general. I think anyone has a hard time with that.
What?
But
yeah. There we go. I just put a ding sound effect thing. Jeff, that's me being sarcastic because you know how hard I am to talk about myself.
You're the hardest to get to talk about yourself.
I know. It's very tough. It's very tough. But you're right, man. It is. It's for a lot of chefs, like these are guys in the kitchen. These are guys who, you know, are shy and weird. And, you know, last thing they want to do is be in front of people. Although this new generation of cooks, it seems like everybody wants to be in front of people. I'm actually going to retract what I just said and go with what I said in the former. Because I think it... you know, in the age of Food Network, the age of all these things, and the age of Instagram and social media, it seems like the actual just chef who cooks food is kind of a thing of the past. Kate, is that, I mean, are you with me on that?
I 100% agree. You know, we've got more open kitchen concepts. You can, you know, diners can see right in. You've got chefs coming out of the kitchen a lot more, talking and kind of hobnobbing with diners. So I think this whole kind of restaurant industry has changed a little bit because of the Food Network and people kind of feel like, you know, like rock stars. You're coming out of your kitchen, you're working hard, and, you know, you kind of want to see what's going on the other end of it. And I can understand that. But, you know, it's very interesting because it's interesting to see what personality types kind of do that and what personality types stay in the kitchen.
But we're also living in the age now, and Jeff, you can vouch for this too, man, because you follow some of these people. Some of these food bloggers now who are like, okay, well, we're not the chef, but I'm going to go ahead and act like I'm the man. I'm going to post a picture of myself holding food that a chef made. And that's what my whole blog is going to be. It's me holding pictures of myself. Now, listen, I'm not hating completely on that. There's a fantastic Instagram account called Buns and Bites, and she's great. She posts pictures of herself sticking her ass out eating food, and that's her whole gimmick. And I'll tell you what, it's worked out well for her. She's a really nice person. I can't wait to try to get her on this program to ask her about that. But it really has become to where the food blogger doesn't talk about the food anymore. They talk about themselves having the food.
Hello?
Nothing.
Yeah, I can jump in, but I thought you pitched that one to Jeff.
No, that's for you. I'll pitch it to you, and Jeff will chime in too, because Jeff hates people, so you know.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Jeff's the most positive guy ever. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean, though. You see these people, you see their Instagram accounts, you see their social media, and it's not, hey, look at this beautiful taco from the taco hut. No. It's, hey, look at me hanging out here having the taco with these other two bloggers.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, I've been to a lot of these blogger dinners, and I also, I think too, I'm going to draw a distinction for you that we've got bloggers kind of in one bucket and these social influencers in another bucket. So there's a lot of people out there that are just Instagram. That's all they do.
Hey,
there's
I want to point out really quick, just to jump in really quick. My buddy Dame Drops on Instagram. He works on the Rachel Ray Show. He's so fucking funny. He made a post today and said, being Instagram famous is like being rich in Monopoly. Oh, that was great.
That's great. But that's true. But, you know, you have these social influencers who I feel like you're more speaking of, who are like, you know, taking pictures of their face next to the pizza and their face next to the ice cream cone. And it's all this kind of like Instagrammable food that looks great. But behind the scenes, if you've gone to any of these blogger dinners or any of these social influencer dinners where restaurants invite, you know, media in to photograph things,
right,
it's all really manufactured. There's lighting, there's, you know, things moving around. The food never is photographed the way it comes out. And I think that's a huge misconception. And to me, like, I don't want to be the girl with the face with the you know, rainbow Starbucks drink that probably tastes like disgusting, and like, it's not my bag. My bag is to kind of showcase restaurants, showcase dishes in their truest format, and really, you know, promote and make great recommendations.
Awesome.
Do you got anything to add to that, Jeff?
No, I just said it's awesome. I think it's great. I mean, I think that's exactly the kind of person Plum wants to follow. You know,
well,
and buns pictures, apparently.
Buns pictures. Yeah, you're not getting any buns from Intoxicate. I got news for you.
Not throwing any buns.
No, we're just about the food.
Well, Buns and Bites, she's great, though. I mean, she does a great job, and she's actually very well-spoken, which is, you know, it's like saying I read Playboy magazine for the articles. But nothing. I thought that was a home run. I got nothing for it. It was a total joke. And now Dakota's going to get mad at me for bringing that up, I bet, because I said something about it. It's become a thing, and I'm making this comment to you, and I'm standing on my soapbox and saying it, but the next time I do a pop-up dinner or a dinner someplace, I'm going to invite all those people.
Right.
You know, I'm not helping.
Right. I mean, you know, they do have a certain value for sure. You know, there are people out there that do a really fabulous job. And if there's any restaurants that are, or chefs that are listening right now, and they're like, you know, how do I whittle out the fluff and, you know, really kind of get some social media influencers or bloggers in there that have a following, you know, really take a look at what the content is instead of just kind of cascading through the news feed and hitting the heart button, like really dive into their page and see what they're writing about. 'Cause there's a bunch of influencers out there too that kind of have this like Yelp mentality, which drives me insane, that they actually can, you know, make comments or reviews about restaurants when, you know, they're not painting a full picture of what's going on.
Totally. So, Kate, have you spent some time in the business itself too as well, right?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I actually served a little bit when I was younger, in my younger days, and I actually helped launch a restaurant locally with a caterer in Westchester County, worked as a event planner with him for a while. So it was a lot of like menu creation, taste testing, all that kind of good stuff. And then, you know, I'm a home cook, which is by no means anywhere near a professional chef, but I like to think I know the difference between my spice rack.
Sure. I mean, I think that's probably, I mean, yeah, I think you probably do. You've been around enough food. You can figure that out, right?
I think so. And I think also the fact that I grew up in Syracuse, I know you love it.
My wife's from Houston.
My father was a huge gardener. That was his hobby. So it was really cool to be able to actually see food grown. And then we started to get very playful with the types of things that he would grow. So it was a little bit outside the box, 20 years ago. He's doing white eggplant and, you know, purple potatoes. I mean, these were things that he was growing in our backyard before they kind of really became mainstream. So I think the fact that I grew up around, you know, homegrown food really helped me too, because I think I, you know, really started developing a taste for kind of what goes with what.
Yeah, and I think when you see food like that growing, and I think Jeff and I both, because we're so fortunate to work the places that we work at, there's so much amazing food. It really can be incredibly inspiring.
Yes.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I don't even make my dinners for work until I go and see what's out there. You know, I build my dinner around what I can find. You know, for instance, this past weekend, I got beautiful big eye tuna that was, I mean, it was 3 hours out of the water or something like that. It was amazing.
Was it just speaking to you? Did it tell you what it wanted to be cooked at?
It did. It told me what it wanted, how it wanted to be seared. It told me it wanted to be rare.
Can I ask you a question, Buddha?
Jeff, it told me it wanted to be raw or rare.
Intoxicate.
Oh, Jeff just called me Dakota.
That was terrible. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Two parquets in and I'm falling apart.
Two parquets. Easy killer, easy.
You know, you mentioned to all the chefs out there, if they were looking for an influencer, and how do you know that an influencer has like real followers? Like, how do you like look at someone and say some people might like people reach out to me all the time, like, oh, I'd love to help you, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, how can you tell that this person is actually going to help you? Like, what about their page or what they're doing is kind of like a telltale that they're either like full of shit or they're actually going to try to help? Like, what do you think?
Great question.
Well, I think most genuine people who are really looking to try to help the restaurants don't reach out to restaurants and chefs.
Right.
So that's number one to me. I feel like if you're reaching out, you're looking for some kind of paid opportunity, and whether, you know, that of course has its time and place for everything. But I think pitching, you know, any restaurant or chef on your Instagram followers, I just think there's better ways to go about that than, you know, just contacting them on Instagram. But I think one of the telltale things that you can really look for is that, you know, when you see these big numbers of likes, to just click on the likes and you can start diving into who the followers are. And if you just start following a couple of the followers, you'll see, you know, are they posting in the same area? Are they interested in the same types of things? Do they live in Russia?
Right. I mean, if their name is a bunch of little gimmick characters instead of letters, it's probably not a real account. It's so easy to see.
I think it's pretty easy nowadays to kind of tell, but it's, again, it's not that restaurateurs and chefs don't know. I think they just don't have the time to be doing these types of things.
How are you listed then? Like, how do I like find someone who's an influencer? Like, I mean, do you go to like, you know, Influencers R Us, or is there like a place that you would like, I mean, how would I put that even in for a search as if I was a chef?
So if you're a chef and you're, let's say, in Westchester County, you know, in the search bar on Instagram, search Westchester County. Uh-huh. And start seeing the people that come up first, and then whittle that down to the people who are posting often, and then start diving into their various accounts. Mm. So yeah. I think it's, you know, for restaurants, I feel like it's very location-based. Like, I get asked to do things all the time in New York City, but I won't do it because it doesn't do a service to my readership, who are all based in Westchester or Fairfield County, Connecticut, or it doesn't do anything for the restaurant. because I really tried to make sure that I'm cultivating what's super, super local here. And those are who my followers are. So they're not really going to go down to, you know, Manhattan to check out, you know, this restaurant unless they work there. They really want to know what's going on in their own backyard.
Absolutely. That's great. I love that. I mean, I think I wish there was more of those kind of services everywhere. I feel like I don't know many of those people. I think what you're doing is great.
Well, I think it's important too to point out that, you know, I think all of these people have their places, especially in our business and the world that we live in now, because the industry has changed so much from what it used to be even 5 years ago. It's just a completely mm-hmm. different world when it comes to getting your name out there, getting your food out there, letting people understand what you're doing. Because like I said, it's almost become an industry now of where it's not just okay to be a cook anymore, you know?
It's true. And I have like a million influencers. No, I shouldn't say a million, but I have a really core group of influencers in Westchester and Fairfield County who I feel like my mission aligns with their mission. And those are the people that I really love seeing at events.
Hanging out right now, Plum Love Foods Live, talking to Intoxicate, talking all about influencers and all those things. You can check out her show, Fork This with Intoxicate, Tuesdays on Intoxicate.com. Now, Kate, when you do these shows, what do you focus on a lot when you're doing your radio program?
Well, it kind of depends on the restaurant or the chef that I'm featuring. I mean, we do everything from having someone like you on to talk about, you know, what you do and how you help restaurants and chefs. To talking about new menus. I just recently had a really fantastic interview about this whole straw movement and how we're getting rid of plastic straws in a bunch of restaurants in Westchester. So there's, you know, hot topics that kind of come up, and then it's balanced out by, you know, what the restaurant is doing, whether it be an event or something new that they're featuring, or even just talking about a specific ingredient that they're highlighting on their menu.
You know, it's a lot of that's going around Montauk right now, too. I'm not sure, Jeff, if you're seeing it out in Southampton where you are. But out in Montauk, man, so many restaurants are starting to actually jump on board with that. And it makes total sense because if you think about it, what's the point? You don't actually need those. And, you know, I mean, who is it? Our friends over there at The Spread, our mutual friends, a restaurant down in Norwalk, Jeff,
yes,
was talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. Chris and Carlos, they don't even serve straws anymore. Like, they have those corn husk straws, right?
Yep, yep. Yeah, and they're doing a lot of their utensils, and they're not even like serving on plates. It's kind of like everything is sustainable there, which I think is really cool.
It's awesome. It's so great, and they make such good food down there too. They're such good people. Mm-hmm. Jeff, that's one of the places that we got to get you when you come up here to Connecticut to check out. That place is amazing.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do a food tour when I go to Connecticut with you.
No doubt about it. We'll have a great time. We'll bring Kate with us because she's fun, too.
I was just going to say I better be invited to this.
She can drink, too, which is awesome. Like, she has an amazing alcohol tolerance.
I get it. All the Intoxicate, I'd hope.
Lives up to the name.
That's right.
Wild card. I'm going to be like, I was with Intoxicate. I have no idea.
You just blame her, right? That's easy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be like, I don't know. She's awesome. I have no idea.
So, Kate, what do you think is, if you look at kind of how the business is changing, and as much as you work with so many different chefs and so many different restaurants in the industry, what do you think, besides the straw thing, is the next thing that you're seeing kind of coming up around here? Because, I mean, listen, we're in the New York City area. I mean, you know, kind of the pinnacle, market number one. You know, things tend to kind of come here first, or they tend to come here last. One of the two.
Right.
I can't figure it out.
Right. Well, I think Westchester is a little bit slower than New York City, I would say that. And I think Fairfield is probably somewhere in the middle. But one of the things that I'm really enjoying seeing is that a lot of chefs are working together in collaborative efforts, which I think is very cool. You know, working together to either highlight their specific city or town or putting together really cool events. And I think that's always really fun to see because you're kind of seeing this like very delicate balancing act between two personalities and two different kitchens.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, Jeff and I are trying to work on this event happening out in the Hamptons, and we're still working on it, but it's taking a long time because, you know, sometimes it's tough to get people to be on board with you. So, but when you get them there, you're right. Having a bunch of chefs working together for the same thing is amazing. So,
absolutely.
It does a big thing. It can be a very powerful thing. I say all the time on this show how powerful food can be. And I agree, I mean, with myself, because I think it can be.
I agree with you.
Hey, let me ask
you. That's some kind of validation.
Good. Well, let me ask you this, too, because it's something else that happened this week, and I don't tend to pull punches, if you hadn't noticed. And events like, I don't know if I should say the event out loud, Kate. If you were my PR person, you'd tell me to shut the fuck up right now. But
Is it an event that you want to be a part of in any time in the future?
I don't think so. I think I'm that against it.
Okay, all right. All right, you might be okay then.
There's a food and wine festival that happens here in Connecticut in a very, very wealthy town.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the first, if you took out some of the word in the name of the town, the word green might be in there.
Yeah, I get you.
Greenwich Food and Wine Festival. I hate this event. I think it's the worst event ever. I think it does nothing but shoot down and make our local chefs look bad. But everyone's so obsessed with being a part of it that they don't see how bad it makes them look. Simply because, like, they focus so much on, hey, Scott Condon's coming. It's going to be great. Really? Well, what about dude from Stanford? You know, what about this guy from Hartford? What about these amazing local guys that we have here? I've never understood events like this. And I know that you probably want to tread lightly when talking about this. But if you want, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, am I crazy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have these guys coming in and... If you're going to bring in these Food Network people who are on the downslide, you want to bring them into these events and have them talk to our local chefs. But it seems more like they're almost putting down our local chefs by bringing these people in into the mix. I mean, I guess you could comment on my comments more than the event itself. That'll kind of keep you safe.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Does it make sense?
No, you're making total sense. I do see some of the value from a diner's perspective on something like a food festival. It's harder for me to see the positives for a restaurant to participate in a food festival. Can dive into that in a whole another conversation. But in terms of bringing in, celebrity chefs, I am all about making our local chefs the celebrity. I mean, they're the ones that we really need to support. They're the ones that we really need to be, you know, throwing our money behind and encouraging to do more and encouraging to, you know, use local farms. And, you know, it's just a domino effect that can only happen in a positive way if we're supporting our local chefs.
And those are the guys that are still going to be here after the event's over.
Right. Correct.
You know, you bring in one of these Food Network type people, or not even all of them. I'm not even saying all of them, but some of them. And I'm not going to name anybody because I'd be shitty to do. But like, who come in and are like, hey, I love Connecticut. Pepe's Pizza. Really? Do you know about Goats and Roses in Marlboro? Because that place is fucking amazing. Do you know about?
Right.
There's so many, but they're going to come in and say the thing that everybody knows. Hey, have you been to Louis Lunch? I love that place. You just go fuck yourself. You know.
Well, I think, you know, Greenwich Food and Wine, I guess, you know, they have some, I mean, there must be some kind of draw in terms of ticket sales or something that they bring these celebrity chefs year after year after year. I think it's interesting.
They pay to have them come, right? But then they want restaurants to pay to be a part of the festival.
Right,
which
right.
Which is bullshit.
So, right. You're 100% true.
I think the logic here, though. Can I chime in really quick? I think the logic is they pay for the headliner, which is the festival's way of saying we're bringing these many people to see this headliner.
We're going to see
you
your food.
Pay us so that you can be under his umbrella of like a celebrity. And now all these people who may not have seen you before are now going to see you because, you know, President whomever is here, you know, or you know what I'm saying? You know,
is the president coming? That'd be fun.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, somebody famous, like, so they put like a famous chef, you know, Chef Boyardee. And
right.
So Chef Boyardee is there. And now because everyone wants to come see Chef Boyardee is how the festival books it. You know what I mean? Like. It's the same way they do it with a music thing. You know what I mean? Like that you book a headliner, you book like some like a big name. Like, I think that's how they're booking it. They're not.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get that. But here's my issue.
Just with either of you, I'm trying to shed on the logic behind why the festival would do it that way. You know what
but
I mean?
They like, don't. They don't like promote the local people though. That's my issue. If you go to their Instagram now, they're like, "Hey, look, you know here."
I think what you guys are saying is,
I don't know,
truth.
know. I mean, and well, by the way, I got heat with Chef Boyardee. He's not a good brother.
I was like, I'm only comment of Aunt Jemima's there. That's, you know, that's just what's going on.
Right. I wish I could. That's a little bit. I don't think you can say that name anymore either. It's 2018. That's a little bit. I mean, I know you're from Syracuse, but.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
Well, you know, what I would love to have a bigger conversation about, and again, this might not be for the, you know, 5 minutes we might have left, but, you know, I'd really like
to. What are you talking about?
We got 2 hours? All right. Sounds good. You know me, I can just keep talking, but I would really like to educate our restaurateurs on how they can leverage their participation in this type of event, you know, so it works for them, and how they can come up with some ideas that would make them look like rock stars at the event so they kind of stand out. Because the one thing that I have beef with food festivals is I feel like diners go up and, you know, festival goers go up, they grab the food and they take off. There's
right.
no interaction. There's no brand recognition. If you ask them what restaurants were there, they probably couldn't tell you because they're starving. They want the wine. They want the food. That's what they paid for. Right.
Time out. I love how you said they're starving. They grab the wine. You can tell where Kate's head is. When she's hungry, she drinks wine.
I mean, you got to fill your belly somehow.
Sure. Sure. Hey, listen, don't make you a bad person.
But I think there's things that you can kind of do to stand out from the crowd. So when you're handing, you know, your food or a specific dish to a festival goer, there's something that's like, oh, wow, this is really cool. So it makes them stop a second, look up, look at your restaurant name, and actually kind of think about, well, this is really cool. You know, for me, I love going to festivals, and I hate going to festivals because I love seeing everybody and being social, and I like to see people interacting when they do. But at the same time, for me, like, I want to go and talk about all the restaurants and dishes and things that are going on there, and it gets really hard to start taking photos and, you know, talking about what's going on because there's just so much activity and it's so crowded and, you know, people are grabbing the burgers out of my hand. So, you know, it's interesting.
Well, let me ask you this. So a festival of that caliber, let's just say in general, right? Because, I mean, I actually would, I don't know, we'll talk about that in a second, but I think that's probably the second biggest food event in our state. But a festival like that, if non-media just you know, intoxicate, not even going as intoxicate, just going as Katie, right? Mm-hmm. Would you buy a ticket to that event for $150?
No.
There you go.
No.
$100. Would you buy a ticket to go?
Maybe $100.
Really? Okay.
Well, maybe $100.
It's interesting.
Is there booze included in the $150?
Only if you're hungry.
But okay. Chef, I will tell you this. I have been at the Greenwich Food and Wine Festival before as Fork This with Intoxicate.
Right.
Had a tent. And I'll tell you, not a single celebrity chef walked through my tent. It was all about interviewing the local chefs.
That's great.
You know, the influencers and bloggers and media professionals who, you know, are local kind of have that responsibility to, you know, maybe mention, okay, this is who's here, but let's really interview and talk about what's staying here and what we can enjoy 24/7.
Dropping knowledge just like that. Like, that shit was on fire. Talking to my good friend, Intoxicate. You can check her out. Her show is on Tuesdays at intoxicate.com, where she talks all about food with really cool food people. Sounds like another show I know. I don't know. Jeff, you ever heard of a show like that?
I know one. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's all right. He's, I think he's a fucking douchebag. He wouldn't have me on. I don't know why. So Kate, I mean, I have an idea. All right, let me run it by you. Okay, we're gonna role play for a second. All right, not like that, Jeff. We're gonna role play for a second.
Am I here? I thought that was the no. All right,
why am I here? So I'm going to this festival. Okay, I'm gonna be there. You're my PR person, Kate. All right, can you play that role for a minute?
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Jeff, you're going to play the role of sous chef in our scenario here, okay?
So just quiet and carry the cooler?
Yeah, that's it. Just right. Hang on to the cooler. We're going to go to the event. We're going to be there. During the Bobby Flay demo, Kate, I've got a great idea. I'm going to run up in the middle of Bobby Flay's demo. I'm going to give him a suplex through the table, and then I'm going to hold up the sign for the restaurant and then Jeff's going to run up and throw and count three on Bobby Flay and hand me the belt, and then we're going to run away. And we're going to try to get out before security.
I'm like literally holding on to you by the ankles so you can't move.
Really? Come on, wouldn't that be awesome though? Talk
about
the headlines.
It's obvious to flex him. I get it.
You know, I'm sorry.
I was hoping you'd just say, I'm pushing you with both hands to go.
Listen, I mean, I've met Bobby Flay.
Me too.
He wasn't exactly the nicest when I met him. He was kind of a dog. People ask me all the time. I've met a bunch of the Food Network people, and while they're lovely on camera and might be producing really interesting shows, I've never had a really fabulous experience with any of them. And I'm trying to think if there's anyone that stands out.
Guy Fieri.
And it's hard to think of someone who wasn't kind of, you know.
Again, I said Guy Fieri.
Oh, God. I can't even watch his show.
But have you talked to him in person? He's a sweetheart. He's the most amazing guy. He's a great cook. He's such a sweetie. He was on this show. His PR girl said, Guy, I'll give you 15 minutes. He hung out with me for almost an hour.
Is he nice? That's nice to know.
When I was on Guy's grocery games with him, all we did literally was do dick jokes back and forth to each other the entire time. That's all we did.
I wanted to say this is the second time I've heard you in the hour talk about dropping dick jokes.
Really? Is that it? Oh, wow.
With another dude.
Well, who else do you do it with? You can't do it. Only a bunch of good brothers can do that, you know, when they're brothering it up. That's when they can do it. Right, Jeff?
Of course.
Yeah.
So I can't. You would tell me that at the Greenwich Food and Wine Festival, I should not suplex Bobby Flay through the table, have the belt handed to me, and then have Jeff play We Are the Champions on the boombox, and we leave.
No. I think that you
think about the headlines.
Think about the headlines you could make being you and the personality that you are, saying, like, who cares about Bobby Flay? Let's talk about Chef Plum.
All right. Well, maybe that's a good idea, too. I don't know. Jeff, which one are we doing? Are we doing the suplex or going to try to be ourselves?
I don't know. I've heard that if you get shot, you become famous. So, I mean, I think.
Who's going to shoot us at the food festival? You really took another step there.
For Bobby Flay, this is what it is. I come in. I'm like, hey, Bobby Flay, I'm tired of your shit. And you're like, no! And you run, and I pull the gun, and we time it perfectly. You dive.
Right.
And I shoot you instead of Bobby Flay.
What? I gotta get shot? Charges
because you love me, and I don't know. You lost me. But anyway.
No, here's what happens. No, you got a great plan here, but I'm going to just tweak it a little bit. You're going to do that. You're going to do a little bit of jail time, but we'll get you out. Don't worry.
Okay.
What's going to happen is you're going to do that. I'm going to jump. By the way, Dave just texted me and goes, see, Jeff knows what's up. but what's going to happen is I'm actually going to Kate's going to take the shot. I'm going to try to jump in and save her from taking the shot, but I'm going to miss just in time. Kate, you got to take one in the arm. Is that cool?
I'm taking one in the arm. Well, yeah. I mean, in PR, that's kind of how we roll.
Same thing.
Broach, taking it in the arm.
I like that. But as I'm falling down to try to get Kate out of the way of the shot, I'm going to accidentally throw a heel kick into Bobby Flay's balls.
I think you guys are taking the whole beat Bobby Flay thing a little too seriously.
I challenged him once in Hampton Chutney. He walked right out. Didn't even want it.
No?
They asked me three times to beat Bobby Flay. One of the times, my friend Michelle Regustis is going to be a judge, and she said, yes, you need to have him. But he wouldn't do short ribs against me.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
You know how these competitive shows work.
Can you pick any dish? Can you be like,
yeah, they want to know what you want to make. They ask you what you want to make.
Cheese puffs. Gruyères. My Gruyères are amazing.
Bitch, I'm making Cheetos. Get you some.
Cheetos.
Could it be like an obscure dish that only you've ever made? Like,
it should be. Holy shit.
You
Jeff,
just
I think.
Be like, yeah, well, Bobby Flay, have you ever had hemp-crusted tilapia? Weird shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's throw down, bitch. I bet your mind's better.
Look, I think we found our third mic for our other show we're talking about making, Jeff. Just, we should have Kate sit with us because she's great.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Right in. hanging out with Intoxicate right now on Plum Love Foods Live. I forgot the name of this program. I got the one and only Forking Chef, Jeff Perazzi, co-hosted with me tonight. We're talking all about PR stuff and apparently getting shot at the Bobby Flay demo. That really took a weird turn. That was not where that was supposed to go at all, but that's where it went. you can check out Kate's show, Fork This with Intoxicate, on Tuesdays on intoxicate.com. How long have you been doing that show now?
3 years.
Wow, 3 years. Who have been some of your guests you've had on? And you got to buy me time because I'm going to grab a beer.
Yeah. Program. Okay, yeah, intoxicate. We're circling back. But also, like, I've had a bunch of breweries on and talking to some brewmasters about, like, what's going on in craft beer. I've had, you know, representatives from different distilleries and wineries on. You know, it's just kind of runs the gamut of a whole host of things.
Are there a bunch of micro distilleries in Connecticut now, too? I know they're popping up all over the place.
Oh, they're all over the place. Westchester and Connecticut, we have a bunch. I mean, our own Yonkers Brewing Company right here in Yonkers, New York, and Westchester just recently took home the gold in the Vienna Lager category. And I think they were only 4 New York State breweries to place. And there's, you know, thousands of beers submitted. So that was a pretty cool thing.
That's really awesome.
That's very, yeah. Very cool. I love very, beer. Very cool.
I do too. It's like wine now. You know, there's tastings, there's pairings. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do.
Man, so what are some of your top restaurants in Westchester that you really like? Not like by any like order, but what are some of your favorite places?
Okay, so here's like my spiel when people ask me that, because that's the number one question that I get. I don't have a favorite. I'm a restaurant recommender, so I'm like a matchmaker. So if you give me a scenario and a location, I can tell you where to go.
All right, I'm ready.
Like, you know, like right now, there's a whole bunch of really cool restaurants doing like cool things with lobster. So right now, I'm working on a post about some really cool lobster dishes. Like, there's this place in Pleasantville that just recently opened up called Mission Taqueria, and they're doing a lobster taco, and it like legit has this amazing lobster claw like staring at you when it hits the table. Nice. And it's amazing. We have a couple of really cool places doing lobster bakes like on the fly, so you can call ahead of time and you get like a whole New England style lobster bake right at, you know, clam bake right at your dinner table. They roll out the paper and everything, which is really cool. And then there's like, you know, there's a new place that just recently opened up that's putting lobster on pizza. So, you know, lots of lobster going on here.
Lobster seems
lots
to be
of lobster. Lots
of lobster.
You guys I will eat the shit out of some lobster, no doubt. Yeah, I have no problems with that. I eat all the lobster too. When I get in it, I mean, like, I will eat, like, I would eat if it was socially acceptable to go around the table and pick at everyone else's remains.
Oh,
I would do that. Because
that's not socially acceptable.
I don't. I mean, at home I do it, but I mean, like, you know, in a restaurant, you can't just walk to someone and be like, "Oh, lady, what are you doing? Those knuckles,
yeah." Yeah.
Let me just show you. You take the back of the spoon, you jam it in, you pull it, it comes out. It's that easy. What's wrong with you?
I kind of feel like I need a shower after the way he just described that. Yeah. That was weird.
What are you doing?
Well, describe lobster knuckles. I don't know.
Lobster knuckles. How come your voice got so muffled? Where are you?
No, you're like so far away.
I know.
He's still getting the beer out of the refrigerator.
No, I got the beer, but my microphone.
Did you have to brew that beer?
I got a little excited and I ripped the microphone cord out and I had to fix it. And now I'm running on secondary microphone because I can't get it to work.
It was the lobster, right? Totally ripped right out when we mentioned the lobster.
That's exactly what it
lobster
was.
Lobster knuckle, and he was like, cool.
Oh, lobster. So Kate, how do you
back over there? What's going on?
When you look at some of the restaurants and stuff that you feature on Intoxicate, how do you pick those? Like, what draws your attention?
You know, honestly, I like to kind of see what's going on Instagram, I have to say. You know, I have, like I said, my kind of core influencers that I'm watching to see what they're posting about, and then you know, I like to see what different you know, restaurants are posting directly. You know, if there's something that I know that they might be doing really cool, I might reach out ahead of time just to be like, hey, you know, even almost, you know, kind of putting it in their head, like, hey, you could be doing this and I think it would be great for you. But I just think, you know, it kind of depends. I try to get to all the restaurants, when they open, like, you know, like a month or two after they open. I don't like to go right when they open because I like to give them some time to, like, work out the kinks.
Sweet of you.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not easy to it's not easy to launch any business, you know, in a 2 to 3 month period. But also when there's so many variables, I mean, if you think about a restaurant experience and all the people that are responsible for, like, getting a dish from the kitchen to the plate, there's a lot of room for error. And I think, you know, to give people the confidence that they need just to kind of give them their space for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to, I don't know, like, it's a way to give guys a chance that, you know, up front that maybe they wouldn't get down the road. But sometimes, you know, they got to work the kinks out first, right?
Right.
And that can be a bad thing when you're there in the beginning.
I think so. I think, you know, it's just, I think people are more, you know, frazzled a little bit because, you know, you're not, I mean, if you think about starting any new job, you know, how long does it take you to kind of feel confident and comfortable doing what you're doing? So
98 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, 98 seconds if it's you.
That's it. I counted. 98 seconds. 98. Listen, a buddy of mine out in Montauk, a mutual friend of Jeff and I's, he was doing some late night food at his hotel, his restaurant. He ran the hotel. So basically what he was doing was he was running from midnight to 3 a.m. doing, like, you know, like late night snack foods, right? Like, you know, gravy fries and things like that. He calls me up. He's busy as shit, late night, unexpected. I go in there. I've never worked in his restaurant ever in my life. I go in there and I throw down pretty hardcore, Kate. I was excited about it. I went in there, kind of ran the expo, ran the pass, and worked the station. Had no idea what I was doing, but we kicked a llama's ass at us. So when I say 98 seconds, I'm not kidding. I mean it. And I think Jeff is the same way. If he came in, 90 seconds, he's good.
All right.
Let's do it.
Well, I mean, let's say you're doing PR for the first time.
Okay.
How long is it going to take you to get the kind of know-how on how to execute a great press release?
Okay. 8 minutes.
Okay.
8 minutes. You ever seen The Matrix?
Quick answer. Yeah. I'm impressed with.
It's The Matrix. It's like we can all go on YouTube and learn how to write a press release.
I'm a Neanderthal sort of, so I'm, you know, Kate, I need you.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I actually have the good news is I could write some shit and I have friends like Kate who I'd send it to her and go, Kate, can you check this out? And she would go, oh my God, that looks awful. You should fix X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh, I wish I could. I'm at work. I can't do it. All right, I'll fix it for you. Thanks, Kate. Done.
Sucker.
Done. Sucker or, wow, that's pretty smart.
No, I'm the sucker.
Well, listen, Kate, you're so fun to talk to. I always enjoy talking to you. I could talk to you forever. I feel like we just laugh and I don't even know if we got anything done here, but I did laugh. So that was good. I did realize that, I didn't want you to get shot in the chest by Bobby Flay, just in the arm. So that was a good sign. We've moved forward in our relationship.
I feel like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good sign. that was a terrible thing to say.
Likes Thompson.
Yeah. A piece of advice, Kate, for chefs, restaurateurs out there kind of who maybe don't have a lot of PR experience, what would you think is one of the most important things that they could do or the best piece of advice that you would give them kind of looking to start making headway for themselves?
I think that they should probably take a step back and realize how much time they need to allocate to, you know, social media, to PR, to web design, and see where their strengths are, see where their weaknesses are, and don't be afraid to ask for help and make that, you know, small investment. You know, even at the beginning of doing something new, it doesn't have to last a whole year. You know, you can just work on a campaign with a great restaurant and a great chef. But I think really kind of seeing where your strengths and weaknesses are will really help you kind of figure out the person that you need to team up with and be helpful to be real clear on what you're looking for from that person.
Do you think that having a PR person is... how about this? So what do you think is a better question. So what do you think is a good, you know, because a lot of restaurant guys kind of get rolled over the coals sometimes when it comes to having to pay bills and things like that and not understanding what it would take to, you know, have a PR person come in and help them out for 4 months. What do you think is a good, figure, and I know it's different all across the country, but what do you think is a good, you know, like a gauge, I guess, to make sure that you're not getting kind of run over the coals?
I mean, it kind of depends on what that PR person is doing. I mean, if you're writing, you know, my services are always kind of packaged together how the restaurant or what the restaurant needs. So after I speak to a chef or a restaurateur and I find out what they're doing now and where they need the room for improvement, you know, that's how I can kind of figure out, well, you need help with your email marketing, or you need help with your social media, or, you know, you need help, you know, creating events, or you need help, you know, writing a press release or web design, you know, all of these different things, you know, kind of baked into PR and to marketing. So I think it's really depends on what they need. I mean, there's a lot of chefs out there and even, you know, front of house that are fantastic at doing social media. But there's just some like little added things that, you know, a PR person can kind of step in and help do. So it's hard to say like a number. It kind of depends. And it varies on, you know, what I'm doing. I guess I would say that if you are feeling like you would like to know based on where you are and what you're looking at, I would be more than happy if you shot me an email from Intoxicate to look at any proposal that you've been sent to kind of give any advice I can.
Hey, Jeff, did you write that down? Because we got to send her an email. Send her a message. You got a couple of questions.
I mean, it's tough, you know, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, I always, you know, tell, like, going into... You know, I wear a lot of different hats. So when I go in as Intoxicate and restaurants start asking me about the other things I do in terms of my PR hat, I sometimes feel a little uncomfortable because I'm not really in there selling in that capacity. So I say, you know, I'll send you what I can do and no pressure at all. If you feel like something resonates, then you contact me back. And that's, you know, kind of how I've been doing business, you know, for the past 5 years.
And it's going well for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a fair amount of clients. I'm, you know, really grateful to work with MaxX PR, who are really kind of focused in Fairfield and Westchester. You know, Linda Kavanaugh, you've had her on the show. She does amazing things. So
one of my favorite people to talk to. I love Lynn so much. I really
she's
do.
She's the best. She really is the best.
I mean, honestly, if I had to pick one drinking buddy, I think Linda would definitely, like, for the rest of my life, I think Lynn would probably fall in the top 20.
Thanks.
Bottom half. Yeah. Bottom half, but top 20.
Well, I mean, your interview with Linda, I think, was the big reveal of how you felt about me.
Oh yeah, I left it on the table. I had to get it out, and I kind of felt a little embarrassed after I did. I was like, I poured my heart out and professed my love for Kate, and then all she did was send me back like a laughing face, and I was like, oh
no, that's story not of my true.
Life. Story
no,
of my
I'm
life,
pretty
Jeff.
Sure there was like an invitation to come on my show, so mm-hmm. I think you know mm-hmm. that happened
I paid for
pretty
that.
Quickly.
I had to pay for that.
Well, I was a you had to pay for that. Get out of here.
I'm kidding. I didn't pay for it. I'm kidding. I didn't pay for it. I'm kidding.
But, you know, it kind of shocked me because I felt like, you know, you and I didn't have that much interaction, I don't feel like, before the interview.
You wouldn't talk to me.
Oh, please.
I walked up to you and you were like, oh, there's a shiny spot in the ceiling. I'll stare at that for a minute. Jeff, have you ever had that happen?
I was like in work mode.
Jeff, have you ever had that happen? You're trying to talk to somebody and they just ignore you completely?
What?
See? Ah, that was good.
Well, I mean, you know, Plum, you are really, really good looking, and it's probably intimidating for, you know, anyone, you know, when you walk up to them, you know, to look you in the eye, let alone talk to you. I mean, it's got to be tough.
Oh, 250
true. Pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. That's right, baby. Listen, much like Disney World, make no mistake about it, I may be a little long in the tooth, just like Space Mountain, but rest assured, it always has the longest line. That's what's up.
What did you just say?
I don't even know where that went.
Space Mountain is the oldest ride in the park, but it has the longest line? No? All right.
Oh, that was great.
That was the best one. That was good.
That's right.
Wait, we're at Disney World now? Where are we?
It just happened. I don't know. Hanging out with Intoxicate. Make sure you check out her show every Tuesday. Fork This with Intoxicate on intoxicate.com. Kate, you're awesome. Jeff, you want to grab one more question? I just got a text that says, I feel you, good brother. Just want to point that out. That happened. Kate, what Jeff and I are trying to do, we're trying to get the word brother to come back, like, really hard. Like, as opposed to saying, hey, bro.
Like,
or
style?
Yeah, but, like, almost using it like a verb. Like, oh, we're just going to go brother it up over here with a bunch of good brothers.
Wait, you're using it as a verb. Are we using it as a verb?
We're using it as a verb, well, as an adjective.
Any way you want. Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. All right. So we're just bringing back brother.
Yeah. Just you know, you can just like, yeah, I had a great conversation last night with a bunch of good brothers on the radio program. Like, you can just say that, and that makes sense. Everybody's like, oh,
or, I get you. Or he would say that, and then I would say something like, brother.
Yeah. That's... I think it works too.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, let's bring that back.
Hey, that's what we're doing. So, but no matter what, like, I mean, you could always say a bunch of good brothers and sisters. You could say that too, I guess. But maybe just everybody should be brother. What do you think? Should we say sister or just everybody? Like I'm a good brother.
Brother and sister.
Jeff's a good brother. Maybe Kate should be a good brother or she should be a good sister.
I feel like I could be a brother. Mm-hmm. I'm down with the brothers.
They,
okay.
What?
You know what? I'm not going to choose your pronoun because that's wrong. just saying that.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, this got real politically correct.
I didn't say nothing. What are you talking about?
Is that a political statement? I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Listen, I think I need to get this back on the rails. It's kind of gone. Listen, we went from a pretty heavy spot to here when this show started to where we are now. So,
you know, you did. That, and, you know, I thought it might be a tougher act to follow, but I think we did okay, right?
Yeah, I think you did fantastic. Listen, I told you from the get-go, this show is more like just us hanging out in the bar having a conversation, and it seems to work for some reason. So that's exactly what this is, and you've experienced it firsthand. Guys, make sure you check out intoxicate.com. Kate's awesome. She offered to give everybody 3 free months of PR for your restaurant. So just send her an email. Jeff,
type in Chef Plum.
Yeah, that's the promo code Chef Plum. Yeah. Jeff, you heard that, right? That's what I thought I heard. No, I'm kidding. All across the country too. If you're in Montana, she's going to help you out. So it's going to be great.
Yep.
Kate, call last question for me.
Missoula, holler at Intoxicate.
Last question for me. Most important form of media that a restaurant or chef can do. Actually, I have 2 questions and I'll stop. Sorry. But
okay.
This is one of them that a restaurant or a chef can do to kind of get the name out there. What's the most important part? Is it radio? Is it social media? Is it doing TV spots? Is it having articles written about them? What do you think as a PR professional is the most important thing they could do?
The most important way to attack it is to do it campaign style and use a combination of all of those things. But if you have to pick one, I would say social media, because you can use those location-based services to your, advantage. And you also have those analytics at your fingertips to be able to kind of really pinpoint your audience and directly target them.
There you go. I hope Jack Kelly heard that, Jeff. That's all I'm saying.
Yo.
That's an inside joke, Kay. It's another thing itself. But how about this, though? How about this one? So for guys like myself, guys like Jeff, we are private chefs. You know, we don't cook for, people in a restaurant or anything like that, but we're still baking slamming food, you know, for a family. Like, I do, 4, 5, 6-course tasting dinners for my family 3 or 4 times a week, and we make baller food. It's a great time. What's the best way you think for these guys to promote themselves and how to bring a little attention to what they do?
I think social media is a really great way to kind of connect with new people. Make sure, again, you're checking in where you are, whether that be like a geographical area or the specific city, because you can start reaching new audiences in that area, and that, you know, could be your target audience.
Dude, she's 100% right, Jeff. I have Whalebone Magazine now following me and liking all my shit.
Awesome.
Which is pretty awesome. So,
Nobody follows me because I post a lot of inappropriate stuff.
That's not true.
Oh, I just followed you.
Yeah, you do pretty well. What are you talking about?
I don't post anything inappropriate, actually, because I have kids.
Well, that's a whole other story itself. We had a group text going for a little bit. Can we tell Kate that story real quick or no?
Yeah, you can totally tell the story. It's a little embarrassing. Yeah. And nothing was saw. We think. Nothing. No one saw anything, but it was definitely going through to the family iPad.
So, see, I'm sorry, Kate. This is how comfortable I am with you, that this is where we're going. I had to start telling these stories. But so myself, Jeff, another chef out in Montauk, Chef Rob Prado, who's been on this program, super great guy. Sweetheart of a guy. But we were we have a group text going, and you know, chefs get a little crude sometimes, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy, but like, we do sometimes do some things that are would be deemed inappropriate for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were sending some pretty rough pictures to each other just to get a laugh, right? Just to make one of the guys go, "Ah, dude," you know, kind of like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like really inappropriate pictures. And all of a sudden I find out, Jeff doesn't tell me, but I find out from Rob that for some reason his family iPad is logged in under his account. So all of the text messages are going to his family iPad that his kids use.
Yikes.
Yeah. We rectify the situation.
Were there eyes on the prize?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, a lot of these pictures, I'm guaranteeing it wasn't much of a prize. That's all I'm saying.
Well, definitely not. There was a micro fascination going on.
And right.
We were between us all, which is so weird.
You ever seen a Vienna sausage? Those things in a can? I'm just examples. Boy. Yeah. So those kids were seeing that.
Yeah.
But here's the issue I have with it. Kate, you got to tell me how bad of a person Jeff is because of this. I found out through our other guy in the text, Rob, not from Jeff, but from Rob. He's like, "Dude, we got to stop sending those pictures. Jeff's kids were seeing them."
Oh, no.
He didn't tell me.
Rob, no.
The other guy did.
Well, I told Rob, I don't know how it came out, because we were talking about something else, and that kind of came up. And then I was like, "Oh, dude. Did I tell you this?" And he was like, "No." And he's like, "Oh, my God." And I'm like, "I know. I'm a terrible father."
Yeah. Not only are there dick jokes, but there's also lots of dick pictures that are horrendous. It's just to get a laugh, Kate. It's not like we're trying to – it's just to get a laugh. That's all it was for.
I mean, listen, I was turned on a little bit. Whatever gets you through the day, as long as your kids aren't seeing it.
Well, I think that's the whole point.
Absolutely.
I actually feel like we should all write an apology note to Dakota, because I'm not sure if that's – appropriate. Anyway, it's not my personal. I'm getting messages, not my personal picture, but from random ones I found on the internet. Anyway, Kate, sorry about that. That got weird.
They were
for
my
a
personal. Picture.
Yeah, I was like, where are we going with this?
Well, you heard. You tell the story. I'm comfortable with you. That's all. You know, yeah, you work with chefs. You know,
I do.
Jeff, you got any final thoughts for Kate before I get her out of here?
No, I just really enjoy talking to you, Kate. Thank you very much for shedding some, you know, what you do in the industry.
Putting a little bit of that powdered unicorn dust on
there. How we as chefs can contact people like you.
Yeah. You know, it's we're here to help.
Awesome.
And I think the ones that are really here to help and kind of have that same mission will stand out if you just take a quick gander.
Gander.
Gander. He had to end on the hard A.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, I love the accent. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. I love it. It's just the best. Guys, make sure you check out intoxicate.com. And of course, her show is on intoxicate.com. It's called Fork This with Intoxicate. How many times can I say her name in one sentence? Intoxicate, intoxicate, intoxicate. By the way, fantastic gimmick name, by the way. It's awesome.
I do what I can.
There you go. Thanks for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you on down the road. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are the best. We'll see you.
Sounds good, brother.
There you go, good brother. Jeff, I think she's in with the good brother stuff.
She's in. She's in the good brother team.
So here's the bad part. Like, I want to hang up on her now because we're done talking to her, but I can't figure out how on Skype to do that. So, oh, she hung up herself. Good. Well, that was fun, right?
Super fun, dude. That was super fun. I feel like we shed some light on the 86 quo thing, which so people kind of know exactly what's going on there and what he's what that good brother's trying to get across and what he's going to try to do and where they're headed with that, which I think is great.
Yeah.
And we hung out.
You can get more info on that, by the way. At 86thequo.com and of course 86thequo on Instagram. You can find more information about that. Wish nothing but luck to my good brother Dakota. He's trying to do good things out there. He's just
good brother. All right, brother.
Do some more work on it. He's getting there though. He's getting there. And of course, Intoxicate. How fun is she?
She brothered the shit out of that podcast.
See?
Though, right?
Right. She was brothering it up with a couple of good brothers. She's sitting there having a beer, brothering it up. Not bad.
Brothering out. You know. That's all right. I got to say, you know, brother in, brother out.
That's right. I mean, I thought it was, I fucked up my line, man. I said, much like Disney World, Space Mountain is, I left out the oldest ride in the park. I just said it has the longest line. I should have said it has the, whatever, I messed it up.
Yeah, but you definitely missed the, like, the setup and you said punchline.
It's like basically I said, to get to the other side. What? Why the chicken cross the road?
You're like, what? That fell flat?
I was like, nothing? Fuck, I fucked it up. You got the point.
Boring.
Yeah, I just gave myself a boring and a buzzer. Oh, I got it wrong. All right, Jeff, listen, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the program tonight and hang out, man. Always love chatting with you. Much love for you. You're a good brother. Absolutely. So, and you can follow Jeff at Forking Chef on Instagram.
Can I give one shout out to Rethink NYC?
Rethink NYC, 100%. Tell them what they do, Jeff.
Rethink NYC is a awesome non-for-profit that they're basically doing the hard work that a lot of chefs, and no one really wants to do. So 30-40% of food's wasted in fine dining restaurants. They're teaming up with these restaurants. They're going in there. They'll take the food any way they can. They have a team that picks it up in a refrigerated truck, brings it back to a kitchen. They process it, and then they give it away for free to shelters, which is amazing. And it's, you know, their idea is that chefs are going to end hunger, and I want to get everyone behind it. But rethinknyc.org. Everyone should check them out.
rethinknyc.org. There's a good brother named Matt over there who's run the show. He's a good dude, so make sure you check them out. We need more things like that in this industry, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we should get him on the program. That'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Yeah, we'll make that happen.
Let's do it. We'll reach out to him. I know him personally, so we can definitely get him going.
We'll make that happen. So I'm going to do the outro for the program right here. I just sent you a text, by the way. I'm going to do the outro for the program right here, but I need you to lay out for a second while I do the outro, just so you know, because I'm not going to hang up on you.
All right. Sounds good. I'm here.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Ty. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening and check out the program. We truly, truly appreciate it. Big shout out to my man, Jeff. Big shout out to Dakota from 86 The Quo. And, of course, big shout out to our good friend, Kate Schlintz, Intoxicate. Make sure you check her program out on Tuesdays. Intoxicate.com. It's called Fork This. You can find it on radio here in the Westchester County area as well as in New York City. She does a great job with that. But then again, who listens to that stuff? You just listen straight from the website anymore. So make sure you check that out. Appreciate you guys taking the time this evening hanging out with us and a bunch of good brothers and sisters. For Chef Jeff, I'm Chef Plum. And remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure to give the time it deserves. I'll see you Monday. Peace.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.